that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
that will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Saturday morning, May 6th. Ooh, here it is, May already, 2017. And we say good morning to everybody. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Ralph from Missouri on the line with us. He did not get flooded out, contrary to popular belief. Good morning, Brother Ralph.
Morning, gentlemen.
And you said earlier, Ralph, you got sunshine in Missouri this morning, huh?
Yes, there's a big bright thing in the sky. Wasn't sure what that was after what we had last week or so.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Glad to have that. Well, that's how we are here. Just blue skies, green grass. As I mentioned earlier, we are in the land of an uncloudy day because there is nothing but blue sky here at the Radio Ranch, so we're thankful for that. I think we hit 72 degrees yesterday, the warmest day of the year so far, and we're so thankful for that. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll just get on with coffee here this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We come before you and we just thank you for the sunshine, for the rain, for the seasons, Father. We just come and we recognize that you are our King and we are so grateful that we can serve you. We ask for your blessing upon this morning on this radio broadcast. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you bring our enemies down lower and lower and allow us to rise higher and higher, that you continue to protect us and station angels about us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. And it is a beautiful day, and Lord, we do. We thank you, praise you for this beautiful day.
Yes.
Folks thought we'd have Brother Ralph on with us. We've had quite a storm roll through the Midwest, and I talked to one of our Acres men up in Maryland yesterday. And they were getting, I think, the tail end of those storms that ripped through the Midwest. They had rolled all the way up to Maryland, and he said it was gloomy and dark and rainy, and they were getting what was left of that storm system. So it was just about from sea to shining sea. Tornadoes, flash floods. I saw 18. I think they were talking about 18 deaths associated with it, and just heart-wrenching stories. Families and young mothers and children. And so we thought we'd bring Ralph on and talk a little bit about that. And there's been some news reports and flooding and towns just gone. I'm hoping to show some pictures tomorrow morning on the scriptural review of the news from the church. Just some of the devastation, just so that we're aware. So it kind of puts that picture in our mind, so we're reminded to pray for these people. This is America. This is not happening in Syria. This is not over in France. No, this is in Missouri. This is in Oklahoma. This is in Arkansas, and it comes on the tail of some of the most severe fires there in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas in anybody's memory. Thousands of cattle that got burned up here just a couple months ago in the spring in basically, Ralph, your neighbors just next door, you know, the three states next door, hundreds of thousands of acres burned, and hundreds of thousands of miles of fence destroyed, burned up in those fires. Wow. That's just been a couple months ago. And then now these massive floods. I heard part of the Mississippi River was shut down by the Coast Guard because it was unsafe. Anyway, quite a bit. So, Ralph, I didn't know, maybe if you want to give us a kind of an update of what you see going on there with the flooding and the aftermath.
Well, what is really just kind of boggled my mind is the amount of places that had the flooding. It wasn't like the bank, the Mississippi River jumped its banks and a few towns along it. I mean, we're talking some of these towns that got hit are hundreds and hundreds of miles away from each other. And when you go through the Ozarks, just about every town in the Ozarks is settled on some sort of creek. That's one thing that we're blessed with in this region of the country. And when I say the Ozarks, who I remember, that encompasses Illinois, parts of Illinois, southeastern Illinois, follows basically St. Louis down the I-44 corridor into parts of Oklahoma, western Illinois, eastern Oklahoma, and then goes as far down as basically stops right there at the Arkansas River. So it's the Ozark Plateau is a very, very large amount of area, and the flooding was everywhere. I mean, we have basically a karst type system here. If you aren't familiar with that, that's when you have a lot of caves, sinkholes, springs, and just a lot of water. And it wasn't just flooding. Area after area after area saw record flooding, where the records were being broke by somewhere up, sometimes up to 8 to 9 feet. That the rivers never in recorded history ever reached that high. And that's just what's amazed me, is just the storm system that the Lord brought through. It dumped so much rain in a small amount of time. I mean, there was reports of some areas getting up to 12 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. I never did hear the official count here. My neighbor next to me, Mr. Bobby, before our road flooded over, I had to head out to the town to do something, and thank you, Lord, that I got that, and he held it back before I got back, because it was within about an hour that my road was under 3 feet of water. So it could have very possibly been stuck on the other side, and couldn't have got home other than walking railroad tracks. But he had showed me that morning. Saturday morning. He showed me from Friday when he dumped his rain gauge. He already had five inches of water, and it was actually flowing over it. Well, that fivefold is recorded. So it's absolutely amazing the amount of water that just came through here. All the low-lying places, I had wondered if, Brother, if it even reached Brother Derek's area, because I go there to work through there. And there is some low-lying areas. That's where it is. You got so many hills in the Ozarks. There's so many low-lying areas. The water pools up.
Right.
And the amount of drownings you heard from people getting swept away. And it's real easy for us to judge people in this situation that's happened. There was a young lady, I think she was 24, in Huntsville, which is just a little southwest of here in Branson, kind of close to between Eureka Springs and the Springdale, Bentonville area over there, kind of give you an idea what part of Arkansas it is. She was driving on a dirt road, and she got caught around and swept away. And it took her SUV. I can't remember what it was. It was an SUV. It swept it a half mile down the road, or down the creek. Just tumbled. I saw pictures of it. Just tumbled with debris in it. And she had two children with them. Both of those children died. Hmm. And as of when I last saw it, they still hadn't found the boy's body yet. Hmm. So there is a possibility that boy could be buried in debris and never be found. Now this was a few days ago that I saw that. But the reason that their father-in-law had come on and showed the road on a Facebook Live type thing, so I guess the amount of people that told in countless amount of people when you get on social media judging, oh, you're stupid, she got what she deserved, and things like that. These are comments people put there. They don't realize how quick a situation can happen, and it gets out of hand, and before you know it, you've got a split second to make a decision. You make the wrong decision, and there you go.
Yeah, and those flash floods that can happen so fast, you know, it's just raining. You're driving, and the road is wet, and that's it. And then you round the curve, and you've dropped 12 or 14 feet, you know, in elevation as it goes down. And there's a creek bottom that's 20 feet out of its bank, and it can. And, you know, a couple of 6 inches of moving water. People that haven't experienced floods don't realize this, but 6 inches, half a foot. 6 inches. You can see through that.
Mm-hmm.
6 inches of moving water can knock you off your feet. And I mean, and I'm not talking about grandma, but any of us, anybody, 6 inches of moving water can sweep you off your feet and take you away. 2 feet of moving water. 2 feet. That's about, Jason, that's about as tall as a tire, isn't it? About 2 feet. Something like that. About 2 feet. 2 feet of moving water. So up about the top of your tires can wash away your vehicle. And many people think, well, it's only a couple feet of water, and that's not going to get up in the air and take my engine, so I can ease through that. And it's just not that way. Moving water there's so much power. There really is. There's so much power in that. I saw a report here from West Plains, and Missouri State University's Grizzly Lofts flooded out, and that's where some of the people stay there. Mm-hmm. Missouri State said they had 70 water rescues Saturday night. About a third of the people in the flooded area were still trapped by flooded roads. They recorded 9 inches of rain in 6 hours, and that was on top of the other flooding. That was just Saturday. And here was a quote that said, there was so much water pressure coming from outside our doors that the doors that are doors that push outwards, you know, they got doors that push out, they broke inwards. There was so much water pressure. You know, these are big commercial doors, steel frame commercial doors, and we're spewing water down the ramps of our building, and it just started filling up with water. That was the MSU West. Had this nice quote, we mentioned it the other night, but Kent Edge, the West Plains Emergency Director, there in West Plains, he said, I don't know how, but we didn't have one single death and nothing over a minor scratch for injuries. The good Lord was watching out for us. And that was reported on KY3 News there at West Plains. And so, and it talks about how the churches have come together. They had 250 volunteers at the churches just there in West Plains to help out. And the people there at the churches were working together. And, you know, many times we say that, oh, well, the churches are doing this, the churches are doing that. No, the people, the Christian people are helping out. And it's good to see that. We talked with a brother. We've got a brother down in Russellville. And we texted him and said, how are things, or emailed him, and he said, yeah, they've been spared. He said, all thanks to the Lord for this. We've had heavy rain, but no severe damage in Russellville, and praying for those affected by the rain. And you mentioned, those in Mountain Grove. We talked with some brothers in Mountain Grove that where the town flooded out. And they said the downtown area had flooded, businesses and roads and bridges flooded out, but their business wasn't. Their office was not flooded out, and their homes were not flooded out. And I talked to several in the last couple of days. Several of our brothers there in the Missouri area, north and south. Talked to Brother Bob yesterday, and said, "Nope, we're getting in and out, get to the store, and not flooded out." And but like you said, Ralph, it's not just one little town. You know, it's not just Pocahontas.
No.
Pocahontas, Arkansas, where the levee broke and pretty much the town is just flooded. You know, a town of, what, 1,200 people. But it is all over. I spoke with Brother Leon, and he said, you know, he lives up a little bit further north, and mm-hmm. they've had massive flooding there. Roads closed. Hundreds of roads closed. Bridges closed down. So to drive to work, now, their house isn't flooded, but to drive to work, you know, a 45-minute drive is turned into a two-hour drive because you have to go a different direction. You have to go left to end up right, you know, that type of thing. So it really has been a pretty massive impact, it seems.
Yeah, Brother Leon lives fairly just right off the interstate, and that stretch of interstate where he lives, 50-something miles was shut down because it had washed just the asphalt right off. And I know where those areas are because I've traveled from time to time. And I did wonder how much that was going to affect his drive, because I know that he just hopped up the interstate, went up to the nearest town, and it went over, and that was, anywhere from 30 to 45-minute drive. I don't even think it's that long for him. But it's just the scope of the areas. I mean, when I see these towns that have had Neosho, Pocahontas, Lebanon, these towns across Missouri that have been flooded, West Plains, just how far apart they are from each other, it's just amazing. And these are all places that I go to work. At West Plains area, I mean, I've been to that campus many, many times with just doing scout functions there. So I know exactly where they're talking about. I know exactly which creek it is that goes through downtown. And that just, I can actually realize just how far that water went up, because I realize how far away that creek is from the university. I don't know exactly where those dorms are, but it's just awesome. The power that just went through water. And something else I was going to remind everybody is about when the water rises, how quick it can rise. My wife just brought me in and showed me when they had to finally release water out of Table Rock Lake and move it, because the way the White River system works, you have Beaver Lake, which is Beaver Lake goes into Table Rock Lake. Table Rock Lake goes into Lake Tinicomo, and Tinicomo goes into Storage Lake, which is the Bull Shoals, which is down in Arkansas. Well, they have to move that water because the dams are reaching dangerous capacities. And Lake Tinicomo rose over 3 feet in 1 hour.
The whole lake?
The lake. The whole lake. It's 22, 23 miles. It's more like a river. So if everybody's ever been close down to Branson, that's that one that's right in front of the landing. But it rose 3 feet in 1 hour. And all these creeks go straight into the White River water system. And that's where it drains into. And eventually that water is all going to make its way into the Mississippi. But I did drive through yesterday and saw Bull Shoals. Bull Shoals, I don't know, it's the storage lake. That's what it was designed for, to hold the water. And I did see it was up. It was kind of a chocolate milk-looking color. And then I went through Cotter, Arkansas, which is where the White River comes out of Bull Shoals, and it looked like it'd never been touched. So obviously they're not having to release water or very much water out of Bull Shoals just yet. But if, they closed down a bridge over in the Kimberley City area. I've lived here all my life. That bridge has been there since the 50s, and it's never that's never happened before. So much water in the lake, they had to close the bridge because it was lapping up against it. Wow. And coming over. That bridge is normally 30, 40 feet, give or take. When you go over, that's how far down it is.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And also, when the flash flood comes through, it's just not water that's coming that knocks you out. It's the debris. And when you go, when the flooding's done, and you see the debris dams against the bridges, you see the debris dams against wrapped around a telephone pole or a stop sign or something. People realize it, it's just full of stuff. When we were walking down in our neighborhood, just to kind of go see and get closer pictures, I mean, we're walking in knee-deep waters, not moving fast, we're staying away from the strong current, and you could just feel stuff constantly hitting your leg. And it wasn't much of a current, but you could just feel stuff constantly hitting your leg. And that's what gets you, is the stuff to the water, the movements of it. And then when you get flipped over, you can get so disoriented so quickly. And it's happened to me before, getting flipped over in a canoe or kayak. And even though you say, okay, I know what I'm going to do, when you get flipped over, sometimes you just get caught. And that's just something that people need to realize when they make those comments. But it is a church in this area are pulling together. There's a town called Bull Creek, which is just up about 15 miles northeast of here. Almost the entire, it's called Bull Creek Village. It's an unincorporated village of mainly just mobile homes. So it's like 15 or 20 mobile homes. Everybody lost everything. Everybody.
Yeah, we've seen that town's gone. I saw one video of a person driving by West Plains, and the video, I mean, everything was underwater, the whole town. It was just the road, the interstate or highway they were on was above water, and everything else was underwater. Had a quote, said the locals were saying there in West Plains that was basically the worst flood they've ever seen. And this was some old-timers. This was some people in their 60s. And that's the thing, you know, what we've seen in the past, we've seen hurricanes, of course, down south, and tornadoes and things like that. Usually it runs a path and hits a town or two. This has been more widespread. And that's why I mentioned that about the fires, was because the fires earlier this spring were pretty widespread. Thousands of acres, hundreds of thousands of acres, and the devastation that hit. And that reminded me of this. Here it is. It's not just a flood in St. Louis. It's a flood from Illinois all the way down. Saw a news report of in Reno, northeast of Little Rock, a house is washed away and is being washed down the river. A house. And it smashes into the bridge. Some people sent me links to the video of it. And it looked like something out of some Hollywood movie. This house that is just floating, you know, raging really down a river, and it smashes into a bridge. Of course, you know, there's no more house. But they've had people north of St. Louis. North of St. Louis, flooding problems, and whereas I think most of what we're seeing is pretty far south, but anyway, just yeah, flooding all over.
And keep these people in prayer, because this is our Israelite racial kinsmen that live in this area. This for the most part, the Ozarks are still populated by God's covenant people.
Yeah.
And it's just devastating. And of course, you've heard about all the looting going on too, right?
You know, I really haven't. I haven't. Luke 13 comes to mind when this was going on. I've read it a couple times. But I want to share it here because it comes to mind, and it's of course it's the time of Christ But he's talking to his people here about that. I think about that judging and about that improper judging. We are to judge, but we're to judge the way we want to be judged, and we are to judge righteously. And like you said, Ralph, some of those comments and things are just people don't understand that. They don't judge the way that they want to be judged, and they don't judge righteously. But we are to do that. And Christ gives us a couple of examples here. If I could just, I'll read a minute here, and then we'll go down to Jason and see what he has for us. But it's Luke 13. It says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." And that was a sin, basically. We don't really understand about that now. We don't have those kind of things, but it was a sin. Verse 2, "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.' Verse 4, 'Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" And then he goes on about a fig tree and tells a parable about bearing fruit. And especially this number 18, when he talks about the 18 that were killed when the tower in Siloam fell. And to me, it tells him that this is life. We're told none of us are guaranteed today. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But what he says here is, you know, those that the tower fell on, the men, the people there that were more self-righteous than they needed to be, were pointing their fingers and saying, just like you said, Ralph, they got what they deserved. Mm-hmm. How stupid can you be to be underneath the tower when it's going to fall? And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. I mean, we live life. That's what happens. And that's the same thing with those people that were washed away. You know, there's many stories of those 18 deaths. You know, you're driving like you normally are. My wife and girls are driving to Colorado today, like they do a couple times a week. And I've certainly prayed for them, and I'm hoping that woman and her children that were washed away were certainly His. But when we read this in Luke 13, we see the similarities that life happens. And it's not always good the way we look at good. But it doesn't mean that, like it says here, they were worse culprits than everybody else, basically, is what it says. That they're not worse sinners. That it's not that God's up there saying, well, you sinned back in 1997, and so this flash flood, I'm going to take you out. I mean, we understand the wages of sin is death, but those comments that you're talking about, Ralph, that you see people are putting out, those are not righteous type of comments. And one more verse, Psalms 50, verse 4, it says, "He," meaning God, "summons the heavens above and the earth to judge His people." And he, you know, he even reading this from Luke 13, there is judgment that comes from these type of things. It does. It does. Well, Jason, we sure hadn't meant to exclude you from this morning.
No, that's all right. I was just enjoying it.
I know we've had, I don't think flooding of that magnitude, but there was flooding up not far from your place over the last few years, hadn't there been? Right up that those canyons up above you.
Yeah, we had quite a spell of flooding a couple of years ago. Nothing like that, but I mean, it did a lot of destruction around here. You know, people without power for days and days on end, up the Big Thompson Canyon with, people couldn't get back and forth from Estes Park. They were flooded in there for quite some time. Yeah, a lot of rescue missions took place, and, you know, for the most part, everybody came out of the storm pretty good, but, you know, a lot of destruction. I mean, they're still rebuilding roads there, and it's years later.
Yes.
And that's one thing. It's like when you see these floods and things take place, sometimes people don't realize how long people have to deal with it after the fact. You know, here we are years later, and, I mean, still rebuilding roads because, you know, up where some of these roads are, they're remote areas, and... You know, I mean, all of the gravel has to be hauled in, and, you know, stuff has to be moved, and it can happen so fast that it can take years and years and years to rebuild.
Yes. and especially these floods in Missouri, because they it's not just in one area. I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's roads up there that are still bridges that are still closed, roads that are still closed, and people have to take a an hour and a half detour to get to places, and that has been a few years, and they're looking at that in a third of the state of Missouri. We've got our Branson Conference scheduled there in just a couple of literally a few weeks, the first week, first weekend of June, and I imagine that we're going to have to check our travel roads, and Ralph will get you to do that for us to see, make sure that the roads are still open. I know parts of 44 were closed. We come across that at times, and in a lot of those little gullies and whatnot. But yeah, they definitely need our prayer, and we ask you, Remnant, to do that, Christian, to keep the people of Missouri that have been impacted by these floods, by this loss of life, that you keep them in your prayer. And there's power there, and they need it. We know comfort comes from our Heavenly Father, and they do have a long road ahead of them rebuilding. That judgment that we read about in Psalms 50, certainly our prayer is that those that don't know our Heavenly Father. Ralph, you mentioned that, the place is full of His people. It's just that, unfortunately, I'm sure that's symbolic of all across this nation, that they're His people, but they just don't know Him. We read about that, and, it usually only takes a couple generations, and pretty much the teachings of God and His will and His way and His word and what He does, and that goes the wayside. And we've certainly seen that in the last 2.5 generations here. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes things like this to make people realize that, the way they thought things were, things are never always the same. That creek's never flooded. Or that bridge, like you said, it's 30 feet down to the water. The water would never wash this bridge away. It's 30 feet above the water. The bridge is closed. Things change. Anyway, just that was a couple thoughts I had that ideally it and our prayer can be that it brings the people that are affected here. It lets them see that this is the hand of God. There's no Mother Nature involved here. It's our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. And that it brings them closer to Him.
It seems to me that I remember reading it's the Lord that gives and takes away, not Mother Nature.
Yes. Yeah. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's not Miss Lord at all. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if that's one of the reasons we push, one of the many reasons we push the Bible reading plan, is when you read through, especially the Old Testament, you read about this female deity worship, this Ashtoreth, and that's what it was. It was the worship of the female deity, and you see it in Roman Catholicism. They pray to Mary, and when Jesus said no, don't pray to Mary, And you see it in the Eastern religions. You see it in, Hindu and things like that. You see this worship of the female deity. You see it in the old ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's the Eastern religion. Unfortunately, it's permeated the parts of Christianity, and it is not that way. That is not how God the Father is. We are created, it says, that we as men are created in His image. And then the woman was made from the man. And that's the order of things. If you don't like it, don't read it. but that's the way it is. Anyway. Well, I guess we could open the phone lines up halfway through the program this morning. It's May 6th. 2017. You may hear this program at other times. We replayed over the weekend and on Monday evening. And But for right now, Saturday morning, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And, Jason, before the program, you'd mentioned something about some changes with Planned Parenthood. If you have any on that you want to share?
One thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is, you know, this Planned Parenthood, this, you know, first of all, there's a lot of changes going on. And you know, we had recently here, we had Iowa that decided that they were not going to, they voted on it, and they're not going to be supporting Planned Parenthood. Arizona is voting on it now, and they're funding Planned Parenthood, and not going to be funding it in this, in, you know, the state of Arizona. And they're talking about now they're going to have to shut down these, all these offices in Arizona and Iowa, you know, I mean, basically all over the country, which is, you know, just praise God. A couple years ago in 2015, Planned Parenthood videos, they were, there's an organization that is basically out there, it's a nonprofit organization that goes out and they try to set up Planned Parenthood. And they did that successfully in 2015. With one of the directors of Planned Parenthood basically was just a very evil, wicked person, still is. But she was selling body parts of aborted fetuses, body parts, to, so she could have enough money to buy her new Lamborghini. And was caught on tape doing it. You know, she faced 10 years in prison and a $500,000 fine. You know, but, you know, whatever came of it, not a whole heck of a lot. She just recently got busted again, and the CMP is a nonprofit group that has been working to expose Planned Parenthood's illegal baby body part racketeering. And they've set her up again, and they got it on video again just recently. And you know, it's some of the stuff you don't even want to talk about on the radio. It's just so disgusting. But, you know, is what people have got to realize is, you know, I think, first of all, I think it just, you know, shows us how, what kind of times we're living in and how wicked some people are. I mean, you know, when she was caught on this recent video, she was negotiating liver, brains, kidneys out of aborted fetuses, asking the guy what gestational period they wanted them in, and told him she wanted $75 a piece for each donor specimen, and she was willing. Went through a negotiation period, and you know, it finally got it down to $50 a piece. And you know, you talk about how sick and wrong these people are. You know, it just goes to show you how true the Bible is. You know, they're stealers, they're killers, they're destroyers. You know, I think it's a perfect example of having, you know, she's an alien. That's exactly what she is. And, you know, you have scientific movies and sci-fi movies that talk about these aliens coming and harvesting organs. I mean, you hear about that, and people think of it as a science fiction kind of thing. No, it's happening. It's real life. It's happening here, right here in this country.
Yes.
And you know, there's those that are doing these things, and this is just ones that they happen to catch. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. It's been around, and that's what they have been doing. This is an ungodly, unchristian, unethical, alien organization.
Amen. Amen. It's filth. It absolutely is. And it, like you said, Jason, it's almost unimaginable to our people. But it slowly has creeped in. It slowly has creeped in. You know, I've been out of high school a little over 30 years, and it was not part of the vocabulary back then. A generation and a half ago, generations about 20, 25 years, and back then it was not part of the vocabulary. It is today. It is today.
Right.
And the more the people talk about it, and the more they think about it, and the more they, well, you know, the more they and when I say talk and think about it, apart from the Word of God, then the more acceptable it becomes. Well, it's just how it is, you know, you got to do it. And And it's just not that way. The Bible tells us that the blood of Abel cries out from the ground, right? I mean, we've read that before. Our pastor's taught on that, that the blood cries out from the ground of those that have been murdered. If the blood of Abel, of one person, Abel, cries out from the ground, what about the blood of the millions, millions of aborted babies over the years? And we wonder, I know people do sometimes, why God? Why do we have hundreds of thousands of acres burned? Why, God, do we have towns wiped out and young 24-year-old mothers just killed? Wiped down the road and their two children. Oh, it's horrible. It breaks our heart, these things. I read one thing, two children climbed over a fence to play in the water. Oof, they're washed away. Why? Why? The blood of cries out from the ground. Just one of the things.
Well, it comes.
I'm so glad, Jason,
to
hear
to my mind.
That Arizona, just like Ralph, that Arizona as well is passing that, because I got the paperwork here on Iowa, and I was so excited. Family Planning Service Program funds shall not be made to any entity that performs abortions or that maintains or operates a facility where abortions are performed. Praise the God. Way to go, Iowa. And it passed. It passed the House. It passed the House 55-42. It passed the Senate 28-21. And it went to the desk of the governor, who had expressed support. And so Iowa has said no more. No more. We'll take care of our people without your federal funding and without your federal Planned Parenthood. And it's great to hear that Arizona's doing the same thing. It is. That's better, folks. That's better. That's better. It's moving in the right direction. Sorry, Ralph, go ahead.
Well, that's all right. Sometimes it's hard to tell when people are done talking or not. So, just the verse came to me at my mind. I don't remember exactly which verse it is. If you forget me, I forget your children. That's what I think of when children are swept away and a car swept away. In the situation I talked about, the mom lived, the two children didn't.
Okay.
And then just another thought that came to me when Jason was talking about the Planned Parenthood and videos. I watched those once, and it was like they were haggling over a side of beef at the butcher shop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that cold callousness of it, and it makes you wonder what they were doing with those body parts. I mean, why are you buying them? What are you doing with them? And it ain't godly, whatever they're doing. It ain't godly.
No.
Is it some sort of ritual sacrifice to their demons and to Satan? Is it for this, for that? And it's just... It's horrible. And someone pointed out to me not too long ago about, and I used to get caught up in this, oh, we don't even put that stuff on the air. We don't, you know, or when people used to protest abortions, they'd put the pictures up of the babies that had been murdered. And I used to think, oh, they don't need to do that. But in the book of Judges, towards the end, when the man's concubine was raped and murdered, what did he do? He cut her body and sent it out to the entire 12 tribes so everybody could see the atrocity that happened. So maybe these things need to be put out so people see it and get a little righteous indignation in it, because that was just one, that was one murder and the entire nation got a righteous indignation. And then as I'm thinking about that, and then one of you had said it had passed 55-42.
Yeah,
42 people didn't think it was a good idea to get the
yep.
funding.
Yep.
I mean, that's almost as crazy as thinking during that time in Judges that the one tribe of Benjamites, they didn't see the evil.
Right.
They didn't see the evil, and they went to war to defend those men. So there's 42 people in the legislature did not think this was a good idea. I mean,
yep.
That spell that's Oof. Upon people to think this isn't a good idea to defund a murdering mill.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that sending out the parts. I think Saul did the same thing, didn't he? When he had a righteous indignation, he cut up a bull or a bullock, and he sent it out, and he said, the same thing's going to happen to you if you don't come and help me defeat these people and stand with me.
Mm-hmm.
And And so, yeah, it's not something we put in our newsletter, but it's something that when it comes out, it there's a time for it. There's a time for that shock to say, this is that bad. And, Ralph, you were talking about Hosea 4:6 when you talked about that, about forgetting your children. And when you read about it, it says, starts in verse 5, really. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. Now, this is the words of God. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. So it's not that the knowledge has been taken away initially on God's part. It's because the people have rejected it. They've said, no, we don't want to do it your way, God. We want to do it our way. And our way is sin. And that's why. And then the last of it. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now that is the word of God. That is as much the word of God as John 3:16 is. Tell me that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It is as much. God is righteous. God is right. God is perfect. His way is perfect. His word is law. Why do you think Pastor Peter's pushed that the law for 35 years? You think that was out of hate? No, that's out of love, because he doesn't want God to forget his children or your children. If you want to believe John 3:16, you better believe Hosea 4:6. You better believe it. Verse 7, the more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. That's us. That's this land today. Because it's all just love, love, love. God loves you. And just the way you are, don't change. You, God made you just the way you are. You don't have to change to come to God. Just believe, and you're covered, and that ain't the word of God. It's not.
And that same law, when you do see these calamities come upon your neighbor, also says to have compassion upon them.
Yes.
And to go out and help and visit them in their distress.
Well, that's what that Luke 13 talks about.
Well,
yeah, you don't look at them that, they got what they deserved. That's an unrighteous judgment. That's what they were doing, and Christ came against that with full force in that was wrong. No, what are we to do? He says here, you have forgotten the law. Since you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. Well, how about if we remember the law of God? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about if we remember it? Then guess what? God remembers our children. And then the promises that we read of through here, of all through Psalms, of you are my rock, you are my salvation. I will call upon you in the day of distress and you will hear me. Because why? Because we know his name. And because he knows us. Why? Because he knows those. He has rebuked those that he calls sons. And we can claim those promises when we remember his law. And what does his law say? His law says that when we... Christ said, what does the law hang on when they tried to... they were always trying to catch him in a lie or something, but Christ never lied. And they asked him about the law. What are the greatest commandments? Love God. Love your neighbors yourself. The Bible tells that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Share in their burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill the law by loving your neighbor. Fulfill the law by sharing in their burdens. Not by judging them that way. Anyway.
Well, something that comes to my mind when things like this fall upon us, and it often wonders to me if this isn't a test to see how the people react after the fact. I mean, for whatever reason, God chose each one of those people to bring them home, and it could be just there was an assignment against them, just like an assignment was against Job's family, and just... It's just, okay, now these people have died, or are you going to be cold and callous, self-righteous, and say, look at them. or are you going to have compassion and go and help these, because these are my people? Because that's part of the fruit test. Is those Jesus said, you know, by the fruit, one of those fruits was to visit the orphan, the widow,
yes,
and to visit the prisoners and those in distress. And you know, we can sit back and yes, the word does say, I will forget your children if you forget me. But is that a time when somebody's mourning over the loss of their child?
No, that's not
because
the time
it washed away in a flood. No, that's not the time to do that and to come out and say, well, you got what you deserved. That's not the time. Now after the time of mourning's over, we can sit back and evaluate and look at this. Okay, why do these things happen? Well, these things happen because of this. And maybe there could be some self-reflection. Well, maybe that is the case. I grew up and always went to church, and then when I hit my 20s, I kind of turned a different direction. And I pray this draws them closer, that doesn't turn them away and make them bitter and go. Because some of the greatest calamities that have happened to our people have brought out some of the most fantastic things that, you know, God has worked out for good. I can't remember. Is it Well Within My Soul, the song about the man who wrote that?
Right.
Lost his entire family on a trip across the ocean, and when they were going to pot, the captain sent us to the very spot, and he wrote one of the most blessed hymns in our Christian hymn books.
Yes.
It is Well Within My Soul. So that's a situation that was there. I mean, if the calamity had not fallen upon Job, we wouldn't have had that entire wonderful book.
Yeah.
And so it is a horrible thing to look at, and we wonder, well, why does God do these things? Well, his ways aren't our ways, and it's not really up for us to question why God chose to do what he did, because
right,
we're the clay and he's the potter, and we don't even have that right.
Amen.
So what we can look is we can look and evaluate, okay, what can we learn to do this? What can we do to show ourselves approved? And part of that is to have compassion, mercy, and pray for these people. If the Lord leads you to donate, of course, if it's me, I wouldn't give a dime to something like the Red Cross, but I would, if it leads me and I see the situation, go and help out these local churches that are helping. I mean, there's a lot of shelters up. People are getting their baby clothes out. They're getting their stuff. They're dropping them off.
There's
things that really help people.
That is. There's things that you can do. You know, like Pastor told us, hey, there's no free lunch. If you want to help, it might require a sacrifice. You might actually have to make some phone calls or look into organizations or work a little bit. But that's okay. That's part of fulfilling that law of Christ. It's Galatians 6. I wanted to read here as we're wrapping up. And it is, but Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
Mm.
Well, how about when we remember the law of God, God remembers our children. It is as simple as that. Oh, it's complex. It's sharper and active and living and never changing but ever growing Word of God in our understanding. But we see, and remnant out there listening in, I hope that our prayer is that you see His Word is true. That when we forget Him, when we forget His law, He forgets our children. Simple as that. And we read about it all throughout the Old Testament. But the opposite is true as well. And that's certainly something to rejoice in. When we remember God, when we remember Him, when we praise Him, when we make His laws, statutes, judgments, His will, His way, when we make that part of our life, when we make that choice to follow Him instead of self, to serve Him instead of self, when we make that choice to not only believe, as the Bible says the demons believe, but to obey, to repent, to be baptized, to make that choice, to choose sanctification, holiness of life, to choose God's way, well, then He remembers our children. Oh, we get a benefit as well, but He remembers our children. What a What a good news. What a salvation.
Amen.
Well, we're running out of time. Didn't have any callers this morning. Want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow, 8:30 Mountain Time in the morning, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. We'll start out with a review of the news, and got some awesome pictures, awesome bad pictures of some of the devastation that's happened there in the Midwest, and want to share that with you and request prayers for that. So. But we ask you to join us. We'll start out with that. We'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. And we'll have communion and some music. So we encourage you to not forsake the assembly and to join us for fellowship, join us for communion, for Bible teaching, for Bible reading. Faith comes by hearing. So join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Again, starting at 8:30. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and then we'll have a few hours of good stuff for you. So we encourage you to join us there. We do encourage you to pray and to read your Bible. We're in Psalm 60. Boy, this week, the Psalms 40, 45 through 60 this week is just I half of that in my Bible has gotten re-highlighted. You know, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Boy, where do we hear that again? That repentance, that baptism, that washing, that obedience, that praising God is all through this part of Psalms. And so what a blessing. I know I've read it before, but it will bless you today if you'll read it. You know, or you can look at it as well, or not. Again, it's that choice. And reading the last third of Job next week. You mentioned Job earlier, Ralph, and that truly is a story of encouragement, especially when you're down. That story of Job that goes from at least to the point
lost
where
everything and
yeah, lost everything
lost
and then he,
everything to everything returned back double.
Yeah. But you know, halfway through that, Job has to get to the point to where he says, "I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives." And that was when he was down in the bottom. That's when times were tough. That wasn't when after he got everything restored. But what did he do? He acknowledged and he was obedient and there was repentance. It's a great story. It is. It is a great story. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for getting up and tuning in. And remember, we're on the internet at scripturesforamerica.org. You can also visit our network website. There's a wealth of information there, sfawbn.com. And Branson is coming up. We've getting a lot of last-minute registrations, and that's good. If you've prayed about it, if you still want to attend, you can give us a call Monday. We've got to call and set up rooms with the room numbers and the number of rooms and that type of thing. So let us know. Let us know this weekend, Monday at the absolute latest Monday morning. And that's going to be pretty much it. And so we are looking forward to that. Well, men, thanks again for joining us. We're going to go out. Pastor always liked this song. I sure do. Ralph, thanks for joining us there from the flooded state. And
it was an honor. I enjoyed coming on.
And Jason, we'll see you at church in the morning, brother.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
God bless, gentlemen.
And you.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more. Big high.
Oh, they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.